And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this first week of 2025, first full week, rather, starting January the 4th, this Saturday, January the 4th. We're going to be in the book of Judges, chapter number 11 this week. Last week, we started talking about the situation with Ammon, the Ammonites, and their vexation of Israel. Now we're going to get a little backstory of Jephthah, and then we're going to go further in to the story and learn some history. Jephthah gives a history lesson to the Ammonite king, and he gives one of the key numbers for biblical chronology, one of the two key numbers to figure out the chronology of Joshua and Judges. The other is given talking about the temple being finished 480 years after an event. And I leave it to your homework to figure out what that event was. In any case, Judges chapter number 11. Again, we're going to read a lot of scripture today. Judges 11 verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. All right, we're going to stop there for just a moment. We're going to talk just a little bit about what this means. Jephthah was the son of Gilead, and Gilead's wife, and Gilead's son. And there's a question as to whether this is a physical man named Gilead or whether it's, oh, this harlot, and we don't know who the father really is. It could have been one of these people. I mean, it was a harlot after all, and that harlot would have had several clients. And so all of those clients could have been considered the father of Jephthah. And so Jephthah is called the Gilead, son of Gilead, because they don't really know. They didn't really know. The harlot didn't really know who the father was. That's one possibility. The other possibility is a man named Gilead who just happened to be living in a place named Gilead hundreds of years after. And that's very possible too. I mean, we have people nowadays. There's Walters. There's probably a Walter Raleigh still around. And no relation to Sir Walter Raleigh, who worked to found North Carolina, or Carolina, the colony of Carolina, way back in the 1600s. And that's a long time ago. That's a long time ago. It really is. And I'm not a great student of history, so I'm not going to try to quote exact numbers. But I do know that the settlement and colonies were established well before they were settled. I know in the late 1500s, I want to say 1575, Roanoke Colony was actually established, even though it wasn't settled. And so there's so many questions in that time frame, and the settlements in the early 1600s, around about the same time the King James was being translated, the colonization of the Americas was well underway. There were already colonies in Virginia, Jamestown being one of them, and of course Plymouth Colony established in 1620. At least that's the date on Plymouth Rock. For Plymouth Colony. And so going back hundreds of years is not a big deal, but there are men named Walter Raleigh even today. And there was very likely a man named Gilead in the land of Gilead. But most of the time, commentators on this scripture make it pretty clear that the reason that it was that Jephthah was called, said Gilead bore Jephthah, because he was the son of a harlot meant that they really didn't know who the father was. But the sons of Gilead, that is all of the children that had established fathers, they thrust Jephthah out. And there's no telling which ones were his blood brethren and which ones were not. There's a lot of things about this that are a little bit difficult to comprehend in ways, and yet in other ways, it's all too familiar of a story where the illegitimate child is the one that is kicked out. Verse number 3, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us if we do not so according to thy words. All right. So the deal being worked out here is the elders of Gilead. Jephthah said, you kicked me out of my father's house. And again, that could be just one of the men who had been with this harlot, or it could be a man whose name was Gilead. That's possible. The Bible is not terribly clear about this in this particular circumstance, but the straight reading is a physical man named Gilead. So we'll leave it at that and consider that he was in the house of Gilead. He was in his father's house, or at least the man who claimed him as father, the one the harlot had claimed, said this would be the man at the right time. But again, being a harlot, there's not really any way of pinning that down. And, well, they did not have paternity tests at the time. So one man took the shame of having a child by a harlot. And Jephthah had lived there, and then the other brethren, the other men of the house, kicked him out, and he had been gone a while in the process of time. Now, this portion of chapter 11 happens before much of chapter 10 does. The Bible often does that. The Bible will set the stage, and then the Bible will rewind a few years to give you the backstory behind the situation that's getting ready to be resolved. And so we're not told how old Jephthah was. Jephthah didn't judge Israel for very long, but we're not told how old Jephthah was. But he was old enough to have a pretty good-sized fighting force there in the land of Tob, and he had carved out a reputation, and vain men had gathered to him, and he was able to lead them. And now, for whatever reason, Gilead, the men of Gilead, the elders of Gilead, sent after Jephthah because he was a mighty man of war. He was a mighty man of war. He wasn't when he left them, but his reputation had really gained over the intervening years. And now Ammon was come up against them, and they needed a mighty man of valor. And somebody says, well, it won't really hurt anybody's inheritance if you use Jephthah. I hear he's got a daughter, but he don't have a son. And so, there's not one mentioned. There is a daughter mentioned, but not a son. And so they send after Jephthah in the land of Tob, and they say, we want you. We want you to help us get rid of the Ammonites. He says, well, what are you going to do for me? You gonna make me the head? They say, yeah, we'll make you the head if you defeat them. If you defeat them, we'll make you the head. From the elders of Gilead's point of view, this could do two things. Number one, it could get rid of Jephthah. Number two, it could get rid of Ammon. And for them, both outcomes were good outcomes. They were okay if the person gotten rid of was Jephthah. And they were okay if the Ammonites were defeated. So it was a win-win for the elders of Israel. And they says, yeah, sure. If you defeat Ammon, we'll make you the head. That's exactly what we will do. So the stage is set. The elders of Gilead have advised Jephthah here, and they've made him a promise. Verse number 11, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them, and Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And so Jephthah goes, and this is not the Mizpah that is where Samuel ends up going a number of years later and fighting the Philistines. This is a Mizpah that is in Gilead. Verse 12. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, what hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land? All right. Jephthah asked the question. He doesn't just go fight them. He doesn't just go and start killing people. He wants to see what the complaint is. After all, what if it's a legitimate complaint? What if Israel had been raiding them and they were just defending themselves? What about that? So Jephthah gives them an opportunity to answer. Verse number 13, and the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon even to Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. All right. What is being said here? Now from Arnon unto Jabbok. And we read that a little bit when we read in Deuteronomy a couple of weeks ago. We read what lands were what. And that from Arnon to Jabbok was the land of Og and the land of Sihon, kings of the Amorites. They didn't belong to the Ammonites. But the Ammonites were wanting to spread out into that land. And now they were wanting to make claim. And so that's the claim the king makes. So Jephthah is getting ready to give them an answer. And in this answer, we get a history lesson. We get a serious history lesson. And I'm sure that Jephthah consulted with the elders of Gilead, and they looked at the books, and they went and saw the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy, where the conquest of the land of Og and the land of Sihon are recorded in those areas. And here's what Jephthah replies. What an amazing reply. And I'm sure this was something that they took some time to consider and some time to think through what they were going to say. Verse number 14. And Jephthah sent messengers again unto the king of the children of Ammon, and said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the borders of Moab, for Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. And they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from the wilderness even unto Jordan. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? All right. He says, no, no, no. Here's what happened. This is what happened. It's recorded. This is what happened. This is what we did. We went through, we went around the land, and we went over there, and we got in battle, and we earned it in battle. We won it in battle. Verse 24, wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them we will possess. Okay, he's saying this. He's saying, if your God gives you land, you're going to possess it? Well, guess what? Our God gave us land, and we're going to possess it. That's what he's saying. He says, our God gave us this land. You claim your God gave you your land. Well, our God gave us this land. And now art thou anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them while Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns and Aroer and her towns and in all the cities that belong or that be along by the coast of Arnon? 300 years? All right. There's the number. 300 years. That's how long they've lived there. That's how long they've possessed the land. He continues, why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? He says, you've had 300 years to do this. You've had 300 years to claim this land. Why didn't you claim it before now? 300 years since what? Since the conquest of Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. That's what. So the year or two before the crossing of the Jordan is what we're talking about here. It's been 300 years. You say, that's an awful precise number. Yes, it is. And I believe God did that on purpose. Now, 300 is not very commonly used in the Word of God. And it's very difficult to ferret out a meaning from just a few uses. But I take this instance of the number 300 to show how that God was willing to judge his people through the enemy that they had already, through land rather, that they'd already conquered. And God was going to judge them with the very nations that he told them he was going to leave. He says, you're not going to bother them. You're not going to bother the Ammonites. The Lord already knew that they were going to rebel, and the Lord already had it in mind how he was going to deal with that rebellion, and the Ammonites were going to be part of it. But Jephthah's statement was real simple. You've had 300 years to claim this land. Why haven't you done it? And again, this is a precise number. But you know what? We have some precise numbers too. We have precise numbers. We know dates. We know dates of things that happened 300 years ago. Getting ready to go into 1725. Which would be 300 years ago. Going into 1725. North Carolina was getting ready to get its fourth provincial governor, as it being the provincial colony of North Carolina, one of the original 13 colonies. By 1725, the 13 colonies were pretty well situated, pretty well settled, and North Carolina already was getting its fourth provincial governor. You can go look that up. It's one of those neat things about history. You can go look it up. By 1725, a bunch of things had happened. Now, they were still 50 years away from declaring independence and from the shot heard around the world, you know. Lexington and Concord, which was 1775, 50 years later, 250 years ago. 250 years ago. In 2026, this nation will celebrate its 250th birthday. I still remember the 200th, the bicentennial. 250 years is nothing to sneeze at. That's a quarter of a thousand. The U.S. is a relatively young nation. But we still know the time. Hey, let's go a step further. We know the date. The Plymouth colonists set foot. It's engraved in stone, 1620, on Plymouth Rock. 1620. That's a lot more than 300 years ago. That's 404 years ago at this point. The King James Bible, the beginning of the translation in 1604, 421 years ago, nearly. 420 years ago, the Hampton Court crew was putting together the beginnings of this King James Bible that we still use. It wasn't until 1611 that it was published after an arduous process. The process of the translation and printing of the King James is an incredibly detailed thing. It's worth your study. It is. It's worth your study. Every Bible scholar should know how we got the Bible we study. That ought to be required study. You need to know how we got the Bible that we believe. You need to know that. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to know. Well, Jephthah knew. He knew the backstory. And he knew the timing. He knew that it had been 300 years. Yeah. He knew. And he sent the message. He sent the message. Why therefore did ye not recover them within that time? Wherefore I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord to judge, be judged this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. Howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. All right. That tells the tale right there. The king of the children of Ammon said, I can try to repossess it anytime I want to. You going to stop me, boy? I can just hear it. I can just hear it. It's fighting time. It's time to fight. There's a time to fight over things, and there's a time to not fight. In this particular instance, it's time to fight. It's time for Israel to defend itself against the aggressor. And Jephthah is the man to lead. And I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us again next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.